Hi, this is Betty, and I'm reading from the News Gazette, dated Friday, May 29th. And on the front page, let's just go back to the coronavirus pandemic, day 70 of state shutdown. Illinois has 115,833 cases with 5,186 deaths. Champaign County has 596 cases, which is an increase of 13 and with 7 deaths. Douglas County has 28 cases, no deaths. Piatt has 11 cases, no deaths. And Vermilion has 40 cases with 1 death. The Illinois impact. The state will still recommend keeping public gatherings to 10 and under, but it's now up to churches, synagogues, and mosques on how to proceed with indoor worship services. Facing multiple court challengers, Governor J.B. Pritzker announced Thursday that the state was withdrawing the prohibition on indoor services involving more than 10 people and instead issuing guidance for how to safely conduct them. The safest options remain remote and drive-in services. But for those that want to conduct in-person activities, IDPH is offering best practices. They include discontinuing singing, group recitation, and practices where there is increased likelihood for transmission from droplets. And there should be no handshakes, hugs, communion on the tongue, or use of a common cup. The Central Region finished Phase 2 with a best-in-the-state 2.6% positivity rate and advances with the three other regions today to Phase 3. The Restore Illinois clock restarts today with regions eligible to advance to Phase 4 no sooner than 28 days from now. The criteria are the same as they were to get Phase 3, with metrics for positivity rates, hospital admissions, medical, surgical, ICU beds, and ventilators. Of 440 new COVID-19 tests reported Thursday in Champaign County, 3% came back positive. The county now has 3 zip codes with 100 confirmed cases. Rantoul's 61866 has 148. Champaign's 61821 has 109 cases. And Champaign 61820 added to the list after 2 new cases, giving it an even 100. Okay, we've got an article here on restaurants. And this is by Ben Ziegerman. Restaurants are preparing to reopen to customers today for the first time in more than 2 months. Logic Everyday Kitchen and its Clever Moose Cafe will be serving a full menu and beer, wine, and craft cocktails, Managing Director Teresa Brown said. We are opening our patio on Friday and are so excited. Right now, Logic doesn't have plans to use its parking lots as it has space for about 60 people on its patio with ample social distancing. The tables sit between 2 and 6 people and will be placed 7 to 8 feet apart. Surfaces will be sanitized every 30 minutes. All employees will be wearing masks and will have their temperature taken before they're even allowed in the operating part of the building. It will be really nice to see everyone, she said. At Scotty's Brew House, service manager Rachel Rosenbaum said Wednesday they were still figuring out the exact arrangement of its patio seating, as all tables will need to be 6 feet apart. We should probably have seating for maybe 20 to 25 people. One of its rooms also has a garage door that will be opened up for a bit more seating. While Champaign is allowing businesses to use their parking lots for outdoor dining, Rosenbaum said Scotty's isn't planning to. In Urbana, the Courier Cafe and Silver Creek restaurants likely won't be ready to reopen until Tuesday at the earliest, owner Alan Strong said. We'd like to open Tuesday, but got to get everything in place. We've got to make sure that we have standards in place for safety of guests and employees. That's what we're working on right now. Silver Creek will use its existing outdoor dining area and their courier cafe will set up a tent in its parking lot. We're putting up a large professional tent in the parking lot and turning it into a dining room. Courier won't have its popular salad bar for obvious reasons, Strong said, but it will have pre-made salads, milkshakes, cookies, and a limited menu with all the favorite staples. Courier will have limited hours open from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Tuesday through Sunday, and Silver Creek will be open from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday. It will also have a Sunday brunch, but the brunch won't be a buffet like the old brunch. Restaurants initially were scheduled to add dining during phase four of Governor J.B. Pritzker's five-phase reopening plan, but outdoor seating was moved up to phase three. They just dropped this on us with no notice. There's just so much to do, from ordering inventory to lining up staff. And while outdoor dining is better than nothing, he said he hopes indoor dining comes sooner rather than later. We're hoping that dining outdoors will be fairly short term. Outdoor is great if the weather is good, but how do you plan if the weather is bad? Bad weather can make it hard to know how much food to order, when to schedule staff, and how much food to prepare. Strong said Courier and Silver Creek have been so devastated by this financially, so he's created a GoFundMe to help the restaurant reopen. We're incurring huge temporary costs, he said, and we're still going to be losing money for months. Despite that, Strong said, we're really excited to see our customers again. He said he's been getting calls from customers asking him to reopen his restaurants. That's encouraging to know that people care that much, he said. The next article is about the Urbana Park District's charity harvest of the geese is going to move forward as protests continue. This is by Ben Zigderman also. Despite continuing rallies to save geese at Crystal Lake Park, the Urbana Park District is moving forward with plans for a charity harvest this summer that could kill more than 60 of the birds. Earlier this month, the Urbana Park District Board unanimously approved applying for a charity harvest permit from the Illinois Department of Natural Resources. If it's approved, employees of the United States Department of Agriculture's Wildlife Division would come to the park in June or early July to collect the geese and take them to a facility to be killed with the meat donated to a food bank. Our intent as a district is to proceed, said Timothy Bartlett, the executive director of the park district. Before the May 12th vote, a group of friends of the Crystal Lake Park geese gathered at the corner of Park Street and Broadway Avenue to urge the board to save the geese. They organized again Tuesday when more than 30 people showed up, said Susan Parenti, an organizer who lives near the park. More rallies are scheduled, including one at noon today and another on Tuesday. We had 45 minutes of protesting, urging people to honk if they support the geese. Today, they'll be handing out a fact sheet and hope to talk with Urbana Park District administrators. Why must we get this done this year? Parenti said. It's not ethical to kill wild birds merely because their mess bothers us. Another organizer, Ilar Sulemjemani, said that research shows that humane strategies are more effective for long-term geese management. It is imperative that the UPD cancel this mindless slaughter before it is too late. The group also created an online petition that has more than 1,000 signatures. Bartlett said he'd be willing to talk with the protesters. We continue to work as a staff team in providing information, education, and hearing from our public here in Urbana. We continue to have discussions with folks that will engage with us, and we hope to have some positive actions we could engage in together to help improve all the habitat and wildlife in the parks in Urbana, particularly at Crystal Lake Park. The Park District has been trying to manage the Canada geese population since at least 2012, including with chemical deterrents, coyote decoy hazing, applying oil to eggs, dog hazing, and the Lake Restorative Project, which includes planting taller natural grasses that are less attractive to geese. The charity harvest is expected to cost between $4,000 and $6,000, dependent on how many birds are killed. Next article on the front page, it was luck or God, and this is by Mary Schenck. An elderly Moni woman with dementia was found safe in woods north of Urbana on Thursday afternoon, 4 days after authorities believe she may have wandered in there. Sheriff Dustin Hureman said the 80-year-old woman was located about 2:30, just over 2 hours after deputies learned from Moni police that she had been reported missing. The woman was taken by ambulance to Carl Foundation Hospital, where she was being checked out. Hureman said despite having been out in the elements, possibly since Sunday night, she had no visible injuries and was alert. Hureman said Monine police contacted his office because a woman's locked sport utility vehicle had been found in a field east of the T intersection of Olympia Drive and Lincoln Avenue in Summer Township about 8 a.m. Monday morning. A nearby homeowner reported seeing it, and a deputy ran the registration and found it belonged to the Moni woman. The deputy called that department, but Hureman said they apparently learned only Thursday morning that she was missing and may have dementia. Knowing of the earlier check on the vehicle, Moni police contacted Champaign County deputies about noon, and a search was quickly launched in the area where her SUV had been found. We think she would have been headed east on Olympia, which tees at Lincoln and went into a muddy field, he said. Hureman said about three dozen searchers from his office, Rantoul Police, Air Life, and the Eastern Prairie, Corn Belt, and Savoy Fire Departments were looking for her. Hureman said Deputy Sean Hallett and Deputy Chad Beasley, the same ones who found a six-month-old baby in a muddy bean field near St. Joseph 5 years ago, actually found the woman after Hallett heard her yell. It was luck or God or something, said the sheriff, who was not far from his deputies when they made the fortunate discovery. Just like in June 2015, when he helped search for Karma Boynton, Beasley was accompanied by his now 7-year-old Dutch Shepherd, Arco. We think she heard Arco bark, said Hureman, who along with Hallett had been in that general area for about an hour and hadn't heard or seen anything. The brush was so thick we couldn't see her, Hureman said. Hallett heard her voice say hello. Hureman theorized that because she was in a thicket with so much moisture, it probably saved her from serious dehydration. If she would have been in the field, it may have been a different outcome, he said. Okay, we have here, two area park districts say play ball. And this is by Deborah Pressey. As phase three of the state's 5-phase reopening plan begins today, the Rantoul and Danville Recreation Departments are already gearing up for phase four. Danville announced Thursday that its recreational activities, including some team sports and public swimming, would resume June 29th. Registration for softball and kickball will open Monday, according to the city. The Rantoul Recreation Department has already begun taking registrations for later and shorter youth league baseball and softball seasons this summer. It's been a rough spring for the kids, said Andy Graham, Rantoul's assistant recreation director. We want to provide something for the kids. Under J.B. Pritzker's Restore Illinois plan, phase three allows for day camps to reopen with restrictions, along with youth sports activities limited to drills, practices, and lessons that don't involve contact and can allow for 6-foot distances to be maintained. No competitive games are allowed in this phase. All outdoor recreation is tentatively allowed to begin when the state moves to phase four. which both Danville and Rantoul recreation officials project will begin in late June. After looking at the governor's Phase 3 Reopen Illinois plan, we figured we could restart registration, Graham said. Registration for Rantoul's Youth League baseball and softball will continue through next week, and teams will be split up and allowed to begin practicing around mid-June. We will not start playing games until we move into Phase 4, Graham said. All coaches will be given guidelines to follow, and Rantoul recreation officials are confident safety measures can be met. One-way distances have been maintained at games in states further ahead on reopening is that bleachers have been used for the dugouts and the fans are distancing themselves. Both Champaign and Urbana Park districts canceled much of their summer programming in mid-May. Champaign is now considering some options for Phase 3 reopenings, such as day camps, smaller one-on-one programs, and private sports lessons, said Park District Executive Director Joe DeLuce. The Park District isn't ready to make any announcements about that, he said, and with changes continuing to be made in phased-in reopening guidelines, the Park District isn't focusing on Phase 4 yet. We want to see what the guidelines are for Phase 4, DeLuce said. In addition to leagues, Danville plans to open its municipal pool from 11:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. from June 29th through September 7th. Okay, we have the next one is Ask the Administrator, a daily question for Champaign-Urbana Public Health District's Julie Pride. The question is, for the coronavirus testing, are the throat swabs as reliable as the nasal swabs? Because of previous surgical procedures involving the sinus area, probing the sinus area seems to be risky. Answer: throat swabs, saliva samples, nasal swabs, and nasopharyngeal swabs are all approved by the CDC. Both nasal and nasopharyngeal swabs are being done locally and have been validated locally. And we have Top of the Morning, and this is by Jim Rosso. And it has a picture here of WDWS producer Adam Austin, an Army veteran who served two tours in Iraq, raises a new American flag outside the News Gazette new office. And the story goes, Chuck Zielinski gets his car washed across the street from our new location on Devonshire Drive in Champaign. So he noticed recently our flagpole was missing a flag. On Wednesday, after swapping American Legion stories with publisher Paul Barrett on WDWS 1400 AM, Zielinski solved our problem. He delivered Old Glory, which we raised Thursday morning. I carry a personal flag in the back of my van in case something like this pops up, the Air Force veteran said. I've done it five or six times. For 13 years, Zielinski has handed out Champaign American Legion Post 24's monthly Certificate of Appreciation to area businesses to recognize proper display of the flag. And you can email nominations to Mr. Chuck Z at Comcast.net. That notable project is on hold due to COVID-19. When it resumes, he said, the News Gazette is in line to become a two-time recipient, thanks to Post 24's timely and patriotic donation. We just wanted to welcome you to our new location, he said. Here's another story on Pritzker lifting ban on worship services for Phase 3. And this is by Peter Hancock, and it's out of Springfield News at CapitalNewsIllinois.com. People in Illinois will be allowed to attend worship services starting this weekend without fear of prosecution as the state enters Phase 3 of Governor J.B. Pritzker's Restore Illinois reopening plan. Pritzker made the announcement Thursday, the same day a new lawsuit was filed in Lake County Circuit Court challenging the ban on public gatherings of more than 10 people as it applied to worship services. It also came on the same day the U.S. Supreme Court was preparing to decide whether it would hear the appeal of another case involving two churches in Chicago that were challenging the ban. Having received many plans and ideas from responsible faith leaders, the Illinois Department of Public Health has reviewed many detailed proposals and has provided guidance. Not mandatory restrictions for all faith leaders to use in their efforts to ensure the health and safety of their congregants, Pritzker said. This includes suggestions on capacity limits, new cleaning protocols, indoor gatherings of 10 persons or less, a reduction of activities like sharing food, and the safe conduct of outdoor congregating. Earlier in the day, the Thomas More Society, a conservative public interest law firm based in Chicago, filed suit in Lake County on behalf of five local churches and their pastors who said they intended to hold worship services anyway on Sunday, which is the Christian holy day of Pentecost. This is a total and complete victory for people of faith, said Peter Breen, vice president and senior counsel of the Thomas More Society. On the front page of the local section of the News Gazette, we have a tip of the cap to the graduating class of 2020 by Jeff D'Alessio. And it says, kicking off today, both here and at newsgazette.com, our summer-long salute to the high school class of 2020. Over the next 10 weeks in print, we'll spotlight senior award winners and scholarship recipients from across the area. So what we have here is from Arthur Lovington Atwood Hammond, we have Abigail Abercrombie, who is valedictorian. Arcola, we have Emma Mann, is Lions Club scholarship winner. From Armstrong, Emily Rogers, the Brian Black Scholarship winner. From Bement, we have Shelby Strack, Ann Borelli President's Award. From Bismarck, Henning, Rossville, Alvin, we have Sierra Bryant, who is one of 10 valedictorians. From Centennial, we have Kyria Mitchell, Alpha Kappa Alpha Scholar. From Central, we have Tamaya Birch, the North End Scholarship. From Danville, we have Karen Estes, one of 12 valedictorians. From Deland Weldon, we have Hannah Cunningham, was valedictorian. Fisher, Angelica Culotta, Meador Family Scholarship winner. Georgetown Ridge Farm, Isabel Snap, one of 4 valedictorians. And from Gibson City, Melvin Sibley, we have Emily Clinton, Heart of GCMS Scholarship. From Heritage High School, Olivia Sorensen, the Lincoln Prairie Conference winner. From the Hoopston area, Joanna Walder, the Rita Dean Scholarship winner. From Judah Christian, Laura Poltzel was valedictorian. From Muhammad Seymour, Renali Casavadas was valedictorian. From Monticello, Josie Miller, the Ann Bauman Scholarship winner. From Oakwood, Aniston Brandt, one of 7 valedictorians. From Paxta Buckley Lotus School, Dalton Buzzboom was valedictorian. From Rantoul, Grace Hansen is valedictorian. Salt Fork, Alyssa Schonk was Lakeview Nursing Scholarship winner. From Schlarman, Isabel Peters was valedictorian. From St. Joseph Ogden, Zach Seeley, Gary Butler Award. From St. Thomas More, Julia Tangen, valedictorian. Tuscola, Logan Tabling, the Brock Wynn Scholarship. From Uni High, Sarah Hashash, Student of the Year. From Unity, Allison Griffin, James Black Scholarship. Urbana High, Max Ando, top GPA in senior class. Villa Grove, Jackson Weising was valedictorian. And from Westville, Hunter Lang, DACC Presidential Scholar. And those were the top of the cap to the 2020 graduating class and their scholarships and their valedictorians of those classes. And we have here, see, let's talk about the what happened on this date in today's history highlights. In 1917, the 35th President of the United States was born, John Fitzgerald Kennedy in Brookline, Massachusetts. In 1943, Norman Rockwell's portrait of Rosie the Riveter appeared on the cover of the Saturday Evening Post. In 1953, Mount Everest was conquered as Edmund Hillary of New Zealand and Tenzing Norgay of Nepal became the first climbers to reach the summit. In 1954, English runner Diane Leather became the first woman to run a sub-5-minute mile, finishing in 4 minutes 59.6 seconds. During the Midland Championships in Birmingham. In 1973, Tom Bradley was elected the first black mayor of Los Angeles, defeating incumbent Sam Yorty. And locally, in 1970, Illinois Bell Telephone announced it would construct a multi-story long-distance switching complex at 304 South Randolph Street, Champaign, to handle incoming and outgoing calls in the 217 area code. And let's see, we have the weather for the next few days. Today, the high is going to be 76 with a shower or two, and overnight is mostly clear with a low of around 56. Saturday, we have a high of 73. With partly cloudy, the winds are going to be 6 to 12, and a low is going to be 53. On Sunday, it's going to be mostly sunny, with the northeast wind 6 to 12, with a high of 74 and a low of 52. On Monday, partly sunny, 77, and 51 is going to be the low. And on Tuesday, we have a high of 84. And a low of 57, and it's going to be partly cloudy and warmer. So that is going to be the weather for the next week. That's what they're predicting, and it's going to be nice to see that sunshine and so little of the humidity. So if your birthday is today, this is your horoscope. Get rid of dead weight and negativity in your life so that you can move forward free and clear of anything detrimental. Follow your heart and do the thing that brings out the best in you and make you happy. That sounds really good. So this is Betty. We'll take a short break now and we'll return with the second half of the half hour of reading yet. And this is the News Gazette on May 29th.